Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Good day.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about HOAs, homeowners associations, and breaking their covenants. What are the repercussions of not cutting your grass off enough? Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. This is Luke. We have Luke again. Luke asks, Jack talks about posting Craigslist land wanted ads and says you can do this in various markets. Doesn't Craigslist not allow people to post ads in markets other than their own based on the IP address?
Boy, that's not my understanding at all.
I was thinking the same thing. Luke, you're a bright guy.
I'll tell you what they don't let you do is replicate the same ad over and over and over again. You'll get hauled away for that.
They'll take them down.
But if you materially change the structure of the ad but keep the sentiment the same, like we want to buy your property, we want to buy your property in Minnesota, we want to buy your property in Maricopa County, Arizona, and so forth, that's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
There are software programs like and services. If you go on Fiverr, you can do exactly what I said, and somebody will break that message down and manage it and post it all over the Craigslists everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's not expensive at all.
Also, I was going to say, too, I know that there are ways to get around the IP address, too. You can have your IP address pop up in Toronto if you want to. You can, you know what I mean?
Listen to you.
I know this stuff.
You're smart.
I am smart. You know, I know how I know smart. Part of this?
Right. Just a couple minutes ago, I was fixing your mouse, but.
Stop.
But you know where IP address
no,
is.
No.
How did your Toronto
I know where
IP
this is.
Address?
You know why? Because there's a British soap opera that I like. And it's seriously, and you can't get it unless you're in Britain. But there are services that you could have your IP address pop up that you are in Great Britain so you can watch your soap opera from LA. Who knew I knew that stuff? I'm not so just a pretty face.
Does your elbow
kidding.
Hurt from patting yourself on the back too much?
You know, sometimes I don't get enough credit over here. You know, thanks a lot. What did Rodney Dangerfield say? No respect. That was one of my dad's lines, by the way. My dad walked around saying that all the time. No respect.
Yesterday, you were landing your airplane in Pinal County, Arizona. And now your IP address is in London.
Woo! Look at me go.
So, yeah, Luke, that's the deal. Luke's middle name, by the way, is Workaround.
Yeah.
It's a massive workaround for doing that. And I would highly recommend it. You know, I mean, those of you who are members, or if you've downloaded the free ebook that I put together a couple years ago, the first thing it says is drop everything and make a posting on Craigslist and see what happens. And tons of people have reported back saying, man, we did a real estate deal doing this.
Exactly. You know? Like, oh my gosh,
I've
people called me.
A lot of real estate deals that way. If not anything, you're in the business now as an investor, and you're going to see what the inbound call flow is like.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the little tricks that we use.
Yep.
We don't use it anymore because our mail campaigns are just dramatically, they're so successful that we don't need
it's
any more.
It's the best.
We don't need any more deal flow.
But. And we can pick it and customize it there. When you're doing an ad like this, hey, call me if you want to sell your land.
Yeah.
You're going to get a plethora of different things.
Yeah.
So, cool.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic, HOAs or LOAs and breaking their covenants.
And POAs.
POA.
Property Owners Association.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all those.
HOA is a homeowners association. LOA is a landowners association. They're all the same thing. What are they, Joe? What is a HOA or what is it? How would you define it?
Good question. It's a governing body over an area, and you know when you're buying into it, you're required to be notified, and you're usually handed what's called the CC&Rs time of purchase. You should be notified ahead of time, and then they have a certain window that they have to supply you with these CC&Rs. The covenants, What is it?
Covenants
and restrictions. Yeah. And basically, it's the rules of the community. Like, you are buying into this community. This is a lake community, but, you know, everybody has a boat and you're allowed this much dock time. And, you know, it could be something like that, or even like a regular homeowners association, even just a little master plan community. That's usually where we see it the most, in a homeowners kind of thing, where everybody's required to have their trash cans in by 6 o'clock that night after trash guy comes. You have to make sure that your weeds don't get above X amount of inches, and all those things. It's meant to enforce and keep a nice community. So no one's going to have a car up on blocks in their driveway for 6 months for everybody to stare at.
If you drive down any, drive through any urban town or urban city, it's glaringly obvious which subdivisions are master planned and which ones have CCNRs. It's covenants, conditions, and restrictions. I just looked it up.
Okay, thanks.
And which ones don't.
Right.
So, you know, this show is partly about defining that, which we sort of just did, and then talking about breaking those rules and what can actually really happen. So, you know, HOAs are something, you know, that everybody has a real strong opinion about. You're either pro HOA or you're extremely anti HOA, and some of them are insane. Like, I remember when we met, you lived in a place where you could only paint your house like one of three colors.
Exactly.
And they actually had the colors and they told you what they are. And
that was it, man. That's very true. Your wall could only be a certain height. And if you wanted to put, I remember I lived in one place a while back where if you wanted to build a shed, like, or put a shed in or something, and it went above the wall, you had to go to the meetings, you had to submit plans, get it approved.
Right.
You know, all that stuff.
So some people hate that, right? Yeah. And some people love it. Some people do not want to have an RV parked next to them at all. Mm-hmm. Or they don't, you know, if you ever go in a subdivision somewhere and somebody's got an antenna that's like 17 stories,
right?
Of the ham radio scenario.
And it just looks ugly and awful. And
that's a non HOA subdivision,
right? Exactly.
I personally, I don't hate it. You know, I don't.
I go both ways, because some of them are just darn ridiculous. When you're telling me that I can't have my garage door open more than 6 hours during the day, okay, come on, I'm working on something. It's kind of weird. Yeah. But
like, if you had a cabin, you would never want that, because you want to spread out. Right. Like in the wilderness and all of that.
Right. And have all your toys out and all that good stuff.
Yeah, but I don't know. In a city, I'm not sure that that's the right place to do that.
Right.
I'm not sure that my next door neighbor should be running an auto mechanic shop out of his garage.
Right. So, you know, there's a place for him. I mean, and you want to have your eyes open when you go into it. And sometimes the way we buy property, which is from private parties, we have to do our own checking. You know, they're
right,
not
you should always check.
Right. They're not going to necessarily alert us. They should. But I mean, come on, it's a private party. They're not going to tell me that they're selling me a car that, by the way, hasn't had an oil change in 6 years.
Yeah.
They're not going to disclose that. So they might not tell me. So I have to make sure I do my own homework. And I know
in our asset type, some of the good things about HOAs or LOAs are road maintenance. So if somebody develops a subdivision in a rural area, and when there's not a lot of development yet, they put, you know, they blade the roads once or twice a year. They pay for that. So all the dues that you're paying actually go toward some good. It's not uncommon to see HOAs have in excess millions and millions of dollars of unspent money because
for improvements.
Yeah. And I have a peeve about that.
Yeah.
You know,
they should
pay
spend
it in,
money.
If you're going to pay into it, better spend it to make the community better.
Right. Yeah, you know what? Here's a positive thing that I do like about HOAs, because we've owned properties. Remember, we've had some, and like there's one in New Mexico that I'm talking about where it's got a beautiful entrance and a beautiful gate in it. And I think that improves a property and improves the value. We've had some too where they have a little park area that's maintained, and that's going to improve the area and improve the value. So those are some nice things that they do that I see it as a positive. So
think of this, and we were talking about this on a weekly call last week. If you buy a bunch of properties, 150, 200 properties, you could create and incorporate an HOA, and you could make the landowners, you know, pay you $39 a month or a year, take that money and really develop it and do it some good. So you can create your own, on the other side, create your own HOA, write your own CCNRs.
that use the money to pay for your staff if it's needed to do this.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's not crazy.
You can get on the other end of it and really make it work.
Right. The main thing that I think, too, that the takeaway here is know what you're getting into and know how serious the restrictions are and what they really, really can do. If you do these things like Jack was talking about, you're running an auto mechanic out of your garage and the HOA catches wind of that, you could be fined. And by the way, they could put a lien on your property. So if you don't comply within X time limit because you bought in this property, this is not an optional thing, by the way. They don't hand you the CC&Rs and you say, you know, I'm going to buy this house, but, you know, I don't want to be involved. I'm not going to pay the dues. I don't want to play your games. You guys all do what you want around there, but I'm going to be in my own little bubble here on my property because I bought this land. You know what? You actually don't get that choice. So this is the thing that you need to be aware of. And they can come down on you and they really can make your life difficult.
Here's how it would play out. If they fine you because your grass is too long, mm-hmm. and you don't pay, you lift up your figurative middle finger to the whole thing and you don't pay for years, and they send you notice after notice and fine after fine, right. You don't cut the grass, they can put a lien on your property and eventually foreclose on it, on that lien.
They really can. That's what you need to know.
So it's not everybody's got a real clear opinion about this, but it's not something that you can, like, you have to pay taxes. It's the mm-hmm. same thing, or they're going to come and get you.
It's true.
And you don't want that.
Exactly.
So HOAs are not optional.
Exactly. So just know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And know, and also too, when you're selling properties, this is another thing too. I do this all the time. This is something you put in your postings. You know, make sure that you don't want your buyer to have any surprises too.
Right.
So you want to make it real crystal clear. By the way, it's in an HOA. And what I would do personally is spin it as a positive thing. And if there's whatever they do that's positive, like, look, that's why it has this pretty gate. They maintain the roads in the wintertime. They plow so they make sure you can get there. Whatever they do, that's a positive thing. Make it a positive thing for your buyer. And it'll really help. And it could increase the value of your property.
Exactly. And here's my final point, and it's a very positive one. Whenever we get an offer, signed offer back on property, and we find out that it's in an HOA, the first thing we do is call the HOA and see if they have any properties for sale.
Mm-hmm. Good tip.
Buying property from an HOA that they foreclosed on because of past dues is very common. And they have their version of a tax. It's their version of a tax sale.
Yep. Brilliant.
So make sure you do that too.
Good tip.
Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information, that's me,
and inspiration, that's me,
to get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You're not alone in your real estate ambition.
That was a good show.
That was really
informative.
We tried to make it entertaining, but I don't know.
Well, you know what's funny? I think that some people don't realize that even in our property time, just because there's not a house on it, doesn't mean it can't be in an association.
Right.
And it really can. So you got to check.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show.
We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more.
And really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.